Good. Thank you, Brother Steve. He says, so glad to see you today, and we do again say happy Father's Day. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the book of James, James chapter 5. We've been for the last several weeks looking through James's letter, and we'll wrap it up today. We've been talking about the importance and the need to stand firm in our faith, to not waver and not be double-minded, not to halt kind of between two opinions, but rather know what we believe and why we believe it and live it. You know, it doesn't do us any good just to know God's Word. We've got to live it and allow it to impact our life. And listen, God's Word is sweet and it's good to read, but if we just read it and that's where it stops, it's not accomplished what God intended for it to do in us. It is to impact us, it's to change us, but we have to, of course, be in it to let it do that. And then we have to surrender and let it do that, and it's a painful process, just like surgery sometimes is painful, isn't it? But necessary. And then when you heal up from that surgery, if it was successful, you feel a lot better. And things work better than they did before you had it, hopefully. And it's the same in our spiritual life. And James tells us that there are things that we have to endure in order to be the children that God intends for us to be, but also in order to have the witness that God intends for us to have. I tell you that the world today needs the church and Christians and you in it, pointing them to Jesus, because the only hope this world has is Jesus. We look for it in a lot of different other things. You're not going to find it in anything else but Jesus. And we're slowly, I think, learning that, maybe coming to that realization, hopefully. And so let's take a look, beginning in James chapter 5, beginning in verse 7. This is what the word of the Lord says. He says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it, until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. What a great ending to this little letter that James gives us and reminds us of how important it is that we live life together. You see, we need to understand that in order to stand firm, we can't stand alone. We need one another, and you were created by God to need others. You were never created by God to do it all yourself. You were never created by God to be isolated, to be lonely. You were created by God to be part of a family headed by God. You were created to serve and to worship God. And to be a witness for him. That's what the chief end of man, the Westminster Confession asks this question, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is this, to know God and to make him known. And I think James would echo that this morning. He would say to us, yes, you need to not just know God, but know him intimately. Not just know who he is, but have a relationship with him. But then you need to help others come to know him like you know him. Because you see, just the way that you struggle and the way that you're not perfect, and none of you are, and neither am I, those around you are not perfect either. See, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means all of us need God's grace. And we need God's mercy. And as James mentioned here, it's a good thing that God is rich in grace and mercy and compassion. And God calls us to share that. And so how do we do that? How do we be a good witness in this fallen world that keeps seemingly getting darker and darker and straying farther and farther away from the things of God? I think James tells us there's three things we need to do. And the first is this, that we need to stand firm and stand by enduring together. The reality is that most of us do not have much perseverance and endurance. Human nature is if something gets too hard, what do? Most of the time? We quit. That's why we all have the best of intentions on January 1st. We're going to lose weight, we're going to go to the gym, and we're going to eat better. But by January 17th, the gym is empty and the line at McDonald's is full because it's gotten too hard. Well, God's Word tells us that things that are worthwhile are not easy. And things we appreciate and the things we grow and are things that we endure and work through. Our salvation is a great gift from God. In fact, James tells us, Paul tells us, salvation is a gift from God. But Paul tells us that this gift that God has given us called salvation and new life has to be exercised. It has to be worked out. Paul writes it this way. He said, work out for yourself your own salvation. Now, Paul's not telling us, figure out how you can save yourself. What he is, though, saying is, figure out how God has blessed you and understand God saved you and what God's calling you to do as a result of that. And we know that, hey, listen, if you try to do something, you set these New Year's resolutions, and you don't tell anybody about them, and you don't have somebody do them with you, the odds are stacked against you. I said January 17th, I think I was being pretty generous to most of us. Usually January 3rd or 4th, we've called it quits. But if you have somebody that's beside you and doing it with you, aren't you a lot more likely to endure it? If you know that your friend is waiting for you at the gym at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they're going to be mad at you if you don't show up, aren't you a lot more likely to get up and go to the gym at 6 o'clock like you said you were going to do? And so James gives us some instruction. He says, listen, understand, you are not supposed to live and you can't live the Christian life by yourself. But also understand that the Christian life is one of endurance. Paul said it this way. Paul said, listen, the Christian life is a marathon, not a sprint. Now, if I don't know that any of you have ever tried to run a marathon, or even half a marathon, or even the 400-meter dash, but running any distance takes endurance, doesn't it? And most of us, after we get going, we can run maybe, you know, a few feet. Then we start getting that cramp in our side, or our legs start cramping. Oh, I got to quit this. Don't we? Well, even runners that do make it to the finish line get that cramp in the side. But you know what? They keep going anyway. They don't give up. And so often we as God's children miss out on God's blessing and we miss out on finding victory in the Christian life because we give up. We stop. Listen, whoever has gotten us to have the idea that the Christian life is easy was a great spokesman for Satan. Because the Christian life is not easy. Now, it's easy to know what God expects us to do. He's written it. He's given it to us in His Word. All you want to know what God wants from you, read His Word and He'll tell you. The problem is, what He tells us to do is hard to do. Because this old sinful body doesn't want to do it. And this world that is ruled by Satan does not want us to do it. And so we have all these forces pulling against us, trying to get us to quit. And yet there's one in our corner who's arguing for us and fighting for us and in fact cheering us on. And His name is Jesus. And not only Jesus, but the writer of Hebrews says there's a great cloud of witnesses cheering you on. In other words, there are great men and women of faith who gave us an example to show that if you don't give up, if you stay true to the Lord and endure, God will come through. And you can look at the Bible starting back in Genesis and go all the way through Revelation and find all kinds of stories that remind us of that important truth. He mentioned specifically Job. You think your life is tough? You go and you read the book of Job. And then I think you'll probably decide, well, maybe you hadn't got it so tough after all. Job was a man that had lost his possessions and most of his family. Lost his health. And yet he declares over and over again, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He declares, I know my Redeemer lives, even in the face of adversity. But you see, it's a lot easier to endure when we're enduring together. And so James says, don't be angry or show hatred towards your brother. He says, love one another rather, therefore be patient. In other words, endure. Hang in there, don't give up. Wait patiently, just like the farmer has to wait patiently for the first rain to come to water the seed they planted, but then the latter rains that help produce the good fruit from his crop. It takes both, and so he said, you must also be patient and establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And then verse 9 says, do not grumble against one another. And that word that the King James and the New King James uses, grumble, really is hold anger towards someone. In other words, don't wish evil on others, because by wishing evil toward others or putting hatred towards others, you're judging them. He said the judge is standing at the door. And guess what? That judge ain't you. There's only one. And so he says that you need to endure, but if you're going to endure, you can't be angry and, you know, hating others and putting others down, because you need others standing beside you and lifting you up. And guess what? If you're kicking them, they ain't going to be lifting you up. They're going to let you drop. And so he says you need to realize you need to endure. You need to last. You need to not give up. But also he wants you to realize and understand that the way to endure and the enduring that God expects of you is not a solo endurance. You need others to help you endure, but also others need you. They need your endurance. They need your faithful example. Say, listen, even though it was stacked against them, and even though they felt like giving up, and they suffered difficulty, they endured, and God blessed them. And as people from generations later hear that, they say, well, you know what, if God didn't give up on them, that means God's not going to give up on me. And so as we read God's word, and we read about these different men and women that endured, God gives us their example to remind us he's with us. The Bible says about Jesus that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus said himself, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And so we need to realize the only way to endure is to endure together. So whatever team sports you play, whether it's basketball or football, volleyball. We're fixing to have the Olympics at the end of next month. I always kind of enjoy those and watching the different sports, and then it amazes me that some of the things that they've declared Olympic sports are Olympic sports, but that's another sermon for another time. But understand that those Olympic teams, it's not just about one person. The whole team has to be a team, and they have to pull together. And they have to work together, don't they? And they have to help each other out. It can't be about one person, or the team's not going to win. It takes everybody on the team working together. And James tells us, listen, the Christian life and standing firm for the sake of the gospel takes every child of God standing together and hanging in there, realizing we were not made to run the race alone. And in fact, we can't run the race alone. We need to endure together. But then he also, secondly, says we need to, we stand by worshiping together. We somehow have devalued and forgotten how important it is to gather together for worship. There are, you know, trends in at large, and we see it in our church. You know, people that at one time were here every time the doors were open. Now, you know, people show up twice a month. We say, well, that's pretty normal, and that's good. There's some people, and it's always been, you know, they'll show up Easter and Christmas. If you're a child of God and Jesus is the Lord of your life, there are times when you can't be at church. But those times that you can't be, you want to be. And if you're a child of God and you do not have a desire to be with God's people worshiping together, you are not where you ought to be in your relationship with God. Because God has created us to need one another. The writer of Hebrews again said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, for that's the practice of the heathen. Lost people don't gather together. In other words, saved people gather together. James asks the question, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Has anyone been blessed? Let him praise. And it doesn't come across in most of our English translations, but most of these questions and instructions are plural. To put it in our southern vernacular, it's not you, it's y'all. Now, there are some instances of some singular pronouns in this list, but the majority of them are plural. And we need to understand that because worship is something we do together. Can you pray by yourself? Absolutely you can. But how many of you know there is something powerful when there's hundreds of God's people praying together about something? How many of you know that, man, it's something when lots of people come together on Sunday morning and sing praises to God? That's a marvelous and a wonderful thing. The reality is we need one another, not just to endure, but God says, listen, you need to worship together. Yeah, you can worship alone, but God intends, and the picture of worship we find most often in the Bible is corporate worship. But corporate worship is fed by private worship. And so you do need to be reading your Bible and praying and doing those kind of things through the week individually. But you also need a time when you come together with God's people. And so when you're on vacation, go to a different church. You know, I love you, and I know you love me. But it's okay if you listen to another preacher, as long as it's a good Bible preaching preacher. And you might hear something. You might say, hey, Aaron, here, check out this message. It was really good. And I like hearing good preaching. By visiting a church, you may say, hey, listen, I went and I visited this church. Man, they were big, but man, it was not a good experience. I'm thankful for my church. And so sometimes visiting another church will make you thankful for what you have. But we as God's people need to learn that we need one another. And part of worship requires that we're together. And so he says, listen, there's praise, there's prayer, there's praise. Listen, if you're sick, call for the elders of the church together to come and pray and anoint you with oil. The faithful prayers of a righteous man availeth much. In other words, the faithful prayers of righteous people do a lot of good. Prayer and worship, singing praises to God, listening to God's word preached, all of those things have the same end goal, and that's to point us to God. If a sermon that I preach points you anywhere else but God, you let me know, because there's something wrong. And prayers that you pray, if they're not bringing glory to God, and you're not praying them to God, you're doing it wrong. And if songs you sing glorify others rather than glorify God, we're doing it wrong. All of those things are designed to point upwards to the Almighty. There's something, you know, when, you know, there's times, I'll be honest with you, I don't particularly feel like coming to church. I tell her, I said, I don't want to go today. And she tells me, you have to, you're the preacher. And so I say, you can preach. I tell her pretty often, I say, you preach to me every day, you can do the preaching at church. It's time everybody else heard you for a while. Maybe you'll listen better than I do. But listen, those times we don't particularly want to come, but I show up, more times than not, they are the best Sundays. And they're the days when God does something special, or somebody just says something to me that's just exactly what I need to hear that day. And chances are that's happened to you. But I can guarantee the service that God speaks to you and does something miraculous in your life, it will not be the service you're not here for. In other words, you want God's blessing at church, you better be at church. And you'll find it. So, and listen, lost people need the church to gather together. And I tell you, it makes a difference just by us coming together, because people say, well, I'm not there, but at least the church is still going. And that's a witness to them. Now, that's not the only witness, by the way, they need to hear. We need to share the gospel with them. But we need to worship together. But then there's something else, especially we in America, do not do a good job at all at. And it's we stand by repenting together. We do not talk much, near as much as we ought to, about repentance. And repentance is a difficult thing. And James here says, listen, we're not supposed to confess our sin. But James says, confess it to one another. Well, it's hard enough to confess it to God, because we can't see His eyes judging us. But we could see our brother or sister's eyes judging us. And so it's a scary thing. Listen, do you tell somebody that hates you your worst innermost struggles? No, you don't. But when we're living life together, when we're worshiping together, and we're enduring together, we trust one another. And it's not sharing a confession of sin so that, you know, that other person can go and put it in the National Enquirer, or in today's world, on Facebook, for everybody to see. And if a person's heart is right with God, they're not going to judge you. They're not going to say, well, I can't believe they did that. But their heart is going to be concerned for you, and they're going to weep with you, and they're going to pray for you, and they're going to try to encourage you and hold you accountable. How many times does God say, hey, you need to go to that altar and pray, but we say, oh, I don't want to go because they're going to think I've done something. And Satan will put that thought in a person's mind. Can I tell you that nobody's thinking, well, I wonder what he's having to go to the altar to repent for. What people that are right with God are saying is, praise God, God's speaking to hearts. And praise God that people are listening. Listen, friend, can I tell you that you do not have it together as you think you've got it together? But the reality is, neither does anybody else. That's a reality. You think you don't have problems? Yeah, you do. You think you don't have anything to repent for? Yeah, you probably do. And there are things that are private sins that need to stay private, but there are things that are public sins that need to be publicly repented of. But there's things that we need, and I think the point James is making is we need accountability. We need a brother or sister. Guys, I think, should find an accountability partner as a guy, and ladies, a lady. Someone that we can call, somebody that will ask us, hey, George, how was your thought life this week? George, what scriptures did you read this week that really spoke to you? Hey, how was church? Because, listen, if I use George's name just because I look at him, but all of us have somebody in our life that has permission and does ask us those hard questions. Because if I know or you know that, hey, listen, when I see so-and-so on Sunday, they're going to ask me how my devotions were this week. Well, if they're going to ask me how my devotions were this week, I darn tootin' better have some devotions this week so I have something to tell them. we all need people, and you need someone that loves you enough and that you love and trust enough that you can go and you can tell them anything. And it's not going to shake their world, and they're not going to judge you, but that they'll pray for you and they'll support you. And I tell you that when pastors, or leaders, or anybody else does not have that, that's when pastors fall. That's when pastors get caught up in adultery and relationships and a lot that we don't need to go down a list. That's when Christians find themselves in trouble, is when they're trying to live the Christian life themselves. And I tell you, there's only been one man in the history of the world that's been able to live the Christian life by himself, and you're not him, first of all. But secondly, even though he could have, he didn't. When we find Jesus in the Gospels, even as a teenager, in fact, the only time we find him as a teenager, guess where he was? Church. For all intent, we might call it vacation Bible school. When it was the Sabbath day, guess, and Jesus was 30 years old and Mama didn't have to get him up and take him to church, guess where Jesus was? Church. Now, they didn't call it church, I know that, but that's what we would equate it to. He was at worship. He was God. He wrote the book. And yet he thought it was important enough to be in church. And if Jesus thought it was important enough to be in church that he would go, how much more do you think you ought to think it's important? And how much more do you think you need? If Jesus needed brothers around him to help him, how much more do you? Because the crowd Jesus had around him wasn't that great of a crowd. He chastised them a lot, didn't he? And yet those 12 men walked with Jesus, and Jesus taught them. And the 11 that were faithful, God used to change the world forever. Not because they became perfect, but because they endured. They stood together. We want victory in our life. The answer to find it is standing firm together. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your love to us. Lord, thank you for your word and how it challenges us. Lord, I don't know how you've spoken to hearts today. Maybe there's one here today or on the internet. Or they don't know you and forgiveness of sin and new life that we've talked about. And today, would you help them to realize their need for you and the gift that you gave on the cross of Calvary? And help them to call on you for salvation. But Lord, for those of us that are saved, may we realize that we need to live what we say we believe. And that we need to live it together. And maybe we've not been doing a very good job of that, Lord. Forgive us for that. Lord, you've given us some easy to understand instructions today in your word. But Lord, I'll be the first to admit it. They're difficult things to do. But Lord, help us. Stand firm together. Lord, help us to support one another and to pray for one another, encourage one another, and rescue one another when we're falling on the wrong path. Help us, we pray. Let's stand together this morning. If God spoke into your heart, or there's a decision that you need to make today, we invite you to respond. Let's sing together this morning.